British Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan has been closely following the developments regarding the ongoing efforts to revitalize the agreement to solve the conflict in South Sudan. And before coming to Juba, Chris Trott was in Khartoum to catch up with the negotiations and hearing ideas about potential compromises. And he also met with members of the civil society group and interacted with key stakeholders who have over the past few months been busy trying to strike a deal that will eventually deliver peace in South Sudan. Well, Ambassador Chris Trott joins us now in the studio to talk about and provide us with his perspective on the progress made or opportunities and prospects of the ongoing peace process. Welcome to Mirror Breakfast Show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back again.
Yes. So let's just begin with a briefing about the ongoing revitalization talks in Khartoum. You have been in Khartoum. What was your mission there?
My mission there was to get a sense of where the talks are heading. Since the chairmanship of the mediation passed from IGAD or from Ethiopia to the Sudanese, the style of mediation has changed a little bit because I think that the Sudanese felt that it required sort of senior engagement, direct personal engagement. So it became a different sort of negotiation, which was harder for us to get a feel for. And I wanted to get a feel for where the negotiation had got to. And I have to say that there were sort of several reasons to be encouraged by the discussion in Khartoum. You saw a wide range of actors there, as you just said, including civil society groups, all of the opposition groups. Mm-hmm. And there was a determination, particularly by the mediation, to try and make some real progress.
Right.
Their focus, as you know, was on issues around the chapter on governance in the ARCSS. Mm-hmm. And particularly around the issue of the number of states and the roles of different individuals within the presidency. Unfortunately, during last week, they didn't come to an agreement on those issues, but they decided that they would pause for Eid, and then they would restart the discussions this coming weekend.
Right.
And the Sudanese are saying that they hope that there will be some broad agreements coming out of their negotiation next week. The key thing, though, at that point is that once the broad outline is agreed, both on governance and security, mm-hmm. there then needs to be a discussion about how you implement this agreement. And I think that's going to be the really difficult negotiation, if I'm honest, because that's where the details are going to be resolved.
Right.
Yes, and Ambassador, in your view, what has been achieved so far?
I think the most significant thing is that the parties are talking to each other, and our hope is that gradually, as this dialogue continues, there will start to be a build-up of trust, which you absolutely need if you're going to generate the political will for this agreement to stick. What we've been saying as Troika and as the UK, as a partner in this process, as a country that is desperate to support the ordinary South Sudanese people's desire for peace, mm-hmm. is that while these talks are going on, there are still things that the parties could do to help us have more confidence in the process.
Right.
And we're talking particularly here about meeting the commitments of the cessation of hostilities mm-hmm. agreement last December. So a complete end to fighting. There should be no fighting across this country
right.
anymore. Mm-hmm. Absolute free humanitarian access for us to wherever there are people in need in this country.
Indeed.
Plus the commitments that were made in the COH about the ability of the media to comment on the process, the commitment that was made to allow civil society to operate, the sort of political space. These are all things that would demonstrate, I think, to skeptics, and there are skeptics, mm-hmm. that this time the peace process is going to deliver a different kind of agreement, or at least this time the political will to implement an agreement is there.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the latest mediation by the government of Sudan appears to have provided a game changer in the agreement to resolve the conflict in South Sudan. So what is your opinion about the mediation role played by Sudan with support from the regional leaders like Uhuru Kenyatta and Museveni?
Yeah, I think the key thing for us at the end of the sort of the Ethiopian phase of the negotiation was that we had reached an impasse, and it was hard with the delegations that were participating in that discussion to understand where the compromises would come from. And what the Sudanese have done, and it's not just Sudanese generically, it's actually the sort of the involvement of senior leaders from the region. Mm-hmm. So it has involved President Bashir, it has involved President Museveni, it has, as you said, involved President Kenyatta. They have engaged in order to talk directly to the heads of the parties. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I think we welcomed that shift, because we felt that that was really what was going to be required to try to generate the compromises amongst the delegations. Mm. And I think the idea is that if the leadership can commit to some kind of agreement now, then they will send a signal to their parties that they then need to find solutions to the outstanding questions.
Right.
What could be the remaining challenges to finally hatch a peace deal?
As I say, I think the challenge is going to be the implementation matrix. I think, you know, there is agreement now, for example, that over the 8-month pre-transition period, the creation of a united army should be prioritized.
Mm.
But the details as to how you do that have not yet been clarified. And obviously, providing security both across the country, but also more importantly in Juba, is critical for there to then be an inclusive transitional government at the end of the pre-transitional period. So there's some details to be worked out.
Right.
But there's also the question of the number of states that needs to be resolved. And this is something where, at the moment, as a mediator, don't get the sense there's much scope for compromise. And mm-hmm. our position is to urge the parties to find some sort of way forward on that particular issue.
Right. Now, Ambassador Chris, concerns have been raised about the implementation phase of the agreement. And just last week, the Ambassador of Netherlands told us that taxpayers are concerned about sinking money into unsustainable peace process. And the same concern also was echoed by the UN Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan. So what is the stand of the United Kingdom?
The stand of the United Kingdom is exactly the same. And we made this very clear in the Troika statement. So it wasn't just us, the US, the Norwegians feel the same. I think the statement was issued on the 10th of August. And we've made it very clear also that our politicians feel that in the past we have been overly enthusiastic because, of course, we're keen to see peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've provided support without waiting for a clear demonstration from the parties that it's going to work.
Right.
And so this time around, our request is for demonstration, a clear demonstration of commitment before I start to go to my politicians and say, look, now is the time to start providing resources for this agreement.
Right.
And in fact, as I mentioned just now, the confidence building measures I talked about don't cost money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they require a political commitment or a political will.
Great. Yes, and what will the UK support for South Sudan look like once the final peace agreement is signed?
That's a very good question, and I'm afraid I'm going to duck it because actually, until we know what the final peace agreement looks like, we can't decide, you know, what it is that we're going to commit to.
Right.
I mean, the key message for me to the people of South Sudan is that we are absolutely committed to continuing our support, and our humanitarian assistance will continue, and our support for girls' education, our support for the health sector will continue. We're also looking for people, young people who are interested in studying in the UK, to apply to the British Embassy here to be a Chevening Scholar, which is another way of supporting young people here.
Right.
And I've been asked by my colleagues to say that we don't have enough women applying for these scholarships. So if there are are women out there who fancy going to study in the UK and are listening to this show this morning, I hope they will look up Chevening on our website. I'm sorry for the pitch.
All right. So, ladies out there, I think you've gotten yourself some very good news this early morning. So, now back to you, Ambassador. You have been to Sudan and interacted with the mediators and key stakeholders. What have you told them, and what is next on your agenda in as far as the South Sudan peace process is concerned?
There was a concern among some of the key stakeholders, including some of the mediators, that the Troika statement that we issued meant that we were standing back from this process. So my key message was that we are absolutely committed to this process. Mm. We are keen to be a part of it and to help where we can. What I've told all of the stakeholders is that I've explained to them our desire to see them demonstrating political will. Mm-hmm. And I've explained to them what I've just explained to you and your listeners about the need for my politicians to see real change on the ground and to see a real commitment to this process, which we believe is in the interests of the people of South Sudan.
Indeed.
Yes. And finally, Honorable Ambassador, is there anything else you would like our listeners to know this morning about the role of the United Kingdom in South Sudan?
I think my message is very clear. We are here. We are committed to peace in South Sudan. We are committed to support the people of South Sudan in their quest for peace, for justice, and the ability to be able to resume their lives where they broke them off. If you think about all the refugees and the IDPs, all your people are in our minds as we approach this process.
Right. Ambassador Chris Trott, thank you so much for sparing some time for us on The Breakfast Show.
It's a pleasure as always. Thank you very much indeed.
All right.
Thank you for coming.
And he is a British Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan.